And welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Hangout on Edmonton Sports Talk. We are live tonight, as I said, on Edmonton Sports Talk, and on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/heavyhockey. So don't forget to like and subscribe there. Brian, what are you drinking, man?
It's a Fanta. No, it's a Fanta? It's Fresca. Fresca. Sorry.
It's Fresca.
Nice. Sorry, I held it away from the mic and everything. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
I wouldn't drink on there with you guys. Come on.
Had you not said anything, our podcast listeners would have for sure thought that was a beer.
Totally. But.
Absolutely. As usual, we like to hack our way through things, so that's a good start for tonight. So, oh, what did we all got? I should probably look at the show.
Sorry, notes. Bruce. I totally threw you for a loop with that, man.
Oh, I know. That's
now,
okay.
Now I know how to mess you up when we disagree. I'll just open a can of something.
crack a Fresca. Here, you're good totally. To go.
There we go.
Crack anything. I can see Bruce's there taste buds. They're just going.
There goes. Yeah, all I got's water, so that's...
That's the way
to go. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, as usual, we'll just hack our way through this stuff, so... I usually like to have stuff written down and script this, and I've totally gone totally off script. So we might as well just keep going totally off script. So,
Bruce, that's how I live my whole life, pal. Let's go. Off the cuff.
Off the cuff.
All right. So now that we've got all that fun out of the way, I am your host this evening, Bruce Gunther. This evening joining us, we have Ryan Black with his Fresca. Welcome, Ryan.
Nice to be here.
And also joining us tonight, Mr. Devin Davidson.
Hello, hello. Good to see you guys. I missed you. It's been a long time with the break and everything.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's, buddy.
Yeah, you
Happy
too.
Happy holidays.
Ryan and I were just talking off air, Bruce, and I'm sure yours is very much, well, I guess maybe not quite as much, but we were kind of just so busy, right? The holidays were not as relaxing as maybe sometimes we wish they'd be, but...
Yeah, that's for sure. This year, you know, is weird.
I have told the story many times of my best Christmas, and I'm going to share it here because it's relevant. I lived in Regina during the World Juniors, the Green Jersey World Juniors, and my mom left town, and my sister and her husband and my nephews, they took off too, and I lived 1.5 blocks from the stadium. So for 11 days, I was 3 beers in by 11. I was at the stadium by 12. I was there till they turned off the lights every day, and it was the best holidays of my life. I love my family. I love my mama. I love my wife. I love my kids. Nothing will ever compare to that Christmas. It was the best.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Well, so is that a good point to maybe start off on, Bruce, tonight? Is the World Juniors, or should we just, you know, start off with the weather? That seems like a nice segue anyway.
I think it's a nice segue. We're off script already, so let's just keep right on going. Let's just jump right into the World Juniors.
So, Ryan, give us your breakdown, buddy, because
this was... I didn't watch a game. I didn't watch a single game, guys.
Okay, that's what I
said.
No,
assumed. I did. I watched them all. It was funny, actually. I did after work yesterday, and I kept hearing an echo in my headphones. I take out my headphones, and I realized everyone who was at the office that day had the game on as well in their own offices. It's like, you know, I don't know what any of us are doing here.
Yeah.
World Juniors. Yeah. So we are, we got three games left. I think so far it's gone exactly like a lot of predictions said it would. Canada wasn't a strong team this year. America took some time to ramp it up, but they just have so much talent on that squad that they were able to kind of fight through the close games. They went to overtime against Czechs. And then they've been rolling since then. And, you know, Sweden got scared yesterday. And did you guys see those calls that Germany had go against them going into overtime? And they were some really weak calls. And then Sweden won it on the power play with a goal from Axel Sandin Pelikka, who's a guy everyone should be watching. Yeah, I guess I'll just throw out some stuff. I don't think anyone has been one of those open everyone eyes prospects. The guys who have done well are guys you kind of thought would do well. Cutter Gauthier. Celebrini probably outperformed his age and what a lot of people thought he would do, leading Canada in scoring. The guy I've been most impressed with all tournament long was Gavin Brindley from Columbus. He was Columbus's second round pick last year, played with Fantilli at Michigan the year before. He's been great. Him and Nazar actually have both played really big, really great four checkers. Brindley, I think, is second on the U.S. in scoring. I would say the biggest surprise was actually guys not stepping it up. I expected more from guys like Lane Hutson so far in this tournament. I certainly expected more from a lot of Canada's players. I feel like Canada's coach... did you guys watch the Canada games at all? I know you were on vacation.
As much as I could, yeah.
As much as good. Canada found no chemistry. And yeah. It wasn't until it was basically too late that they really tried messing with the lines at all. With as much talent as Canada had, they should have scored more than they did. They did have some key injuries on defense, which was unfortunate. Tanner Molendijk, who we know well in Saskatoon, and then Tristan Luno, who's a Ducks pick. They probably would have been our two best defensemen at that tournament, so that stung. But even with them in it, it was going to be a tough go. It's a down year for Canada, and the U.S. still has a lot of guys worth watching, so I know I'll be watching those last two games.
I caught most of the Germany game. And I was telling my wife, I said, they suffer from Edmonton Oilers syndrome. They pass the puck way too freaking much. They like the pretty play. They don't want to shoot the puck.
The U.S.?
No, the Canadians.
Oh, the Canadians. Yeah.
In that Germany game, way too pretty.
Mm,
they could have. They had lots of opportunity to put that puck away, and they just tried to make that extra pass. And that's...
I read they passed up on 35 shot attempts or like shooting opportunities in that game against Germany.
Yeah.
35 opportunities to shoot the puck. They didn't do it.
And the same in the game they lost to, what is it, for the Czech Republic or Czechia, whatever they're calling it now. Same thing there. They passed up 30 opportunities to shoot. They passed instead.
Yeah,
it's tough because these nations that have caught up with us in the last 10 years, a lot of their top lines and top players play together a lot. You know, the States has that power USNTDP.
USNTDP, yep.
Yeah, with Leonard and Perreault and Smith. And they were really good. And they know when the other guy's going to shoot. And they're comfortable with that. Canada, I didn't see any chemistry between any two players, let alone a whole line. But you get guys who are 8th and 10th and 11th picks on a line together. And I feel like they're so Canadian, they just start deferring. You know, and yeah. Just like put the puck on the net. Like you're all very good players. Guys like Geeky should be scoring more than they are, but they're just Jaeger from Moose Jaw. He wasn't afraid to shoot. And he probably should have had a couple more goals. But other than that, Celebrini was the only guy who went out there and took charge. Like we'll all remember last year forever, right? When Connor Bedard had the puck, that overtime goal, he wasn't giving that puck up.
No, and that's insane.
It's the opposite of what you see a lot of times on these kind of subpar Canadian teams where they just don't know if they're the best player on the line and they don't know if they should shoot or that extra pass itis is contagious on that team. Yeah. So it's too bad, but not completely unexpected. I certainly wasn't sure Canada was going to meddle in this one. And Czechs, Czechia, Finland, Germany was really strong. Like Germany played a really good tournament. And then of course the States, those were all teams that I thought could knock us off. So I'm not that surprised. It sucks, but it wasn't totally unexpected. That goal hurt though. That's a crap way to get knocked out of the tournament. So,
well, and to your credit, you and Evan both said before this tournament started, best case scenario for Canada was a third place finish.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I saw happening. I mean, Sweden's the same thing. Like when they're on their game, Sweden is a team that has very good chemistry. They have enough scoring. Their goalie was goaltender of the tournament last year. He was back this year. He'll probably end up getting a contract. Canada, again, didn't have a goalie who came and stole the show. And just looking at the U.S.'s roster on paper, I didn't think gold was ever going to happen. I'll be shocked if the States doesn't win this thing. And the way the sides were set up, Canada was going to have a rough time. So it's unfortunate. I hate to see, I'm sure you guys saw some of these players are getting messages on their social, like...
Oh, social media is just destroying these kids.
Give me a break, man. Yeah. I don't get it. I think it's really dumb. We've been spoiled as a nation with all the medals we've won all the years and all the amazing games. It's too bad, but... You know, better luck next year. We'll see.
Yeah, they're kids. Everybody should just check yourself. Honestly, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's kind of easy for me to say because ultimately I try and put my Canada hat aside. Like, I'm 43. You know, I've been watching the World Juniors since I was a kid. I've had enough medals. I want to watch the teams that have the most exciting prospects on them, guys. I don't get to see all that often. So I'm actually pretty happy with who's left in the tournament right now. most of Canada you get to see. You know, we live in Saskatoon. I get to go see a lot of these dub guys. I've seen a lot of Jaeger. I've seen a lot of Geeky. Celebrini, it was nice to see. But yeah, it's unfortunate. But, you know, once you're back at work anyways and the games are at 8 a.m., we're not missing that much.
Yeah, that's no, what, really.
Or that's what I tell myself.
Oh, oh, excuse me.
Oof. Is that enough World Juniors? Let's see. I covered my best Christmas ever. I talked about these ones. Here's a quick question. What's your favorite World Juniors memory? I always like to know this about the people.
Jordan Everly. Hands down. Like, I'll forever remember that.
That's right there. I mean, you know, the Bedard OT, I think, will stand the test of time as well. But it's too soon to say. But, like, what a tournament he had. But then it's Ebbs. Got to be.
Yeah, for me, it's Everly. I like the Bedard one. Sorry, Bruce. I agree. Ryan, great. Like, watching that in overtime was nuts. Yeah. I just don't think I was as invested in that tournament as I was when I was watching the Jordan Everly one. So, for me, it's almost more of a nostalgic thing. So, that'd be my opinion. But, Bruce,
well, and we've all seen that replay 1,000 times, right? Tavares magical play at the line. It's culture at this point. It's one of those, what do they call them, the Canadian history minutes,
the heritage moment.
It's got to be a heritage moment by now, so we'll give this goal some more time.
You would think so.
For me, go ahead Ryan. I would just throw in as an honorable mention that play where McTavish knocked it off the goal line the year before and then Johnson went down and won it. That was pretty, like, as far as insanity goes, that might have been the craziest thing I've seen in a World Juniors, because to get that save, like, on the line and then 10 seconds later you go down, that was pretty wild too.
The two things that stand out for me, one was Jordan Everly back-to-back goals there. That was the big one. The other one was against Canada, so it was one of those New Year's Eve nights, Canada versus the U.S. and John Carlson. I can close my eyes and I can still watch the play, and I don't know why it sticks. It just sticks.
That's weird. I have the exact same, and it wasn't even that important a game, but same thing. Like, I remember, like, it ruined my New Year's that year.
Well, it was like, what do they call that? That's the word I'm looking for.
Disappointing.
Tradition. Well, that too, but tradition, right? The way the World Juniors always set up was Canada and the U.S. New Year's Eve. That was for how many years? That's how it all set up, and everyone's out partying, and I'm watching the World Junior, watching Canada versus the U.S. and kind of reminds me now.
Well, sorry, I was going to say, especially when it's in Canada, Bruce, it's so much fun to watch. Like, I always watch those games too. When they're in Canada, New Year's Eve, Canada, U.S., I want to see those games.
Definitely. One thing that I like, and I didn't get a chance, I don't even know if they played each other this year, is watching Sweden and Finland go at it. That is like watching Canada and the U.S. go at it, but just a little notch higher. Those two countries just don't like each other when it comes to hockey. It's fun to watch.
They did play. It was a very good game. Finland won that game. Finland won that game in a shootout. It was a very entertaining game. Sweden went up 2-0. Finland tied it. And then the third was just really, really close. Finland tied it in the last minute and a half. Yanni Nyman scored. And then overtime was it was a great game. It was probably the best game of the tournament so far.
You know, it was another great shootout game, guys.
Don't put those words in the same sentence.
Sorry, that's totally fair. That's a great point.
You know what was another shootout game of all time?
I was just going to try and switch gears here to the Edmonton Oilers because, that was a big win for them against
Derek Ryan. We're doing Derek Ryan.
Let's do the Derek Ryan. Come on. How happy were the boys to see Derek Ryan score the game winner in the shootout? Yes, it's a shootout, but I mean, not a guy I expected to see there. And Connor and Leon both said the guy's got great hands. Not a surprise to anyone on that bench that he was tapped on the shoulder.
That's a lie.
I've seen clips from both of them. I've seen clips from both players.
No, I know. I'm not saying they didn't say it, but I'm saying, like, as your fourth shooter, I think they were a little surprised.
Like, yeah, you wouldn't have been my fourth shooter on the list. I was, that's for sure.
Surprised. First surprised. But I'm just saying, like, they saw it happen and they weren't shocked. So,
well, he also had a really good 10 minutes leading up to that too. He made a couple big plays in the in the third period. So he was having a good game. And I have no problem with putting a hot hand out in overtime or in the shootout.
Yeah. So as you'd said, Bruce, they run the table in California. How big was that?
That's huge. Like, well, San Jose and Anaheim aren't much, but the Oilers in the past have had issues getting up for those games. So it was nice to see them take care of business. And it was nice to see them. I saw the Oilers go down 2-0 in LA and I went to bed. So I was quite nice to wake up the next morning to see they had won it in the shootout. So that was very nice. So
that's the biggest win of the year right there. Honestly, yeah. Like, forget the winning streak, forget it all. As someone who has doubted our ability to make a run in the playoffs, LA would be one of the first teams I'd say, I think this year, I'm not sure that we can beat them. To see them bounce back after going down 2-0 was huge. They played a perfect game, even in the first. Like, they're playing very, very well. It was nice to see that we're coming swagger again from the Oilers. Mm-hmm. If you remember Leon against the Rangers last year, that was the team. That was the attitude. They are back to being that team from post-trade deadline last year. And this was the biggest win of the season for me, hands down.
Yeah. And they're only a point out of a wild card spot now, are they not?
Yeah, they're right there.
I think last night, Bruce and I checked, based on points percentage, they're actually in a wild card position. but I think Arizona was still technically there because of
Connor Ingram. Oh, you were going to say something else. You were going to say wins. Yeah,
yeah,
or sure.
Whatever. Because of wins. But I think it's just points percentage, the Oilers are in. Like, that's, they've come a long way back.
There's no... If you're looking ROS, who are you taking? Sooner, I mean, like,
it's not even close.
It doesn't matter. It's January. We're close enough to say that we're going to be in the playoffs this year. We'll probably not have home ice, and let's see where we can go.
Well, let's see. The Oilers are 39 points. The Kings are at 45. So that's, what, 6 points, and they still have...
There's games in hand there, too, I think.
LA has only played 34. Edmonton's played 35 now, so LA's got a game in hand. Mm. But Edmonton has games in hand over Arizona and Nashville.
LA's scared, though, guys. Big move this afternoon. LA is not happy. They've lost three in a row. And... They made a big move today. If you're honestly one-year league, long-term league, today was a big day for the team. I'm wearing my jersey. I'm not. Brant Clark. Team Brant Clark is coming back from the dead to show how not wrong we were ranking him as the number one prospect defenseman. I will say, I have been crucified for putting him ahead of Luke Hughes. Luke Hughes is probably going to be better the rest of the way because Hamilton's out for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But Brant Clark is going to make it interesting. I don't think he's going back down. Have you guys seen what he's done in the AHL?
Yeah, like 32 points in 30 games. It's
unprecedented.
Yeah.
It's incredible. A lot of guys talk about, you guys know David Yerichek. A lot of guys talk about what he did as a rookie in the AHL, albeit a year... and a bit younger. But like, Brant Clark has come in and been the best defenseman in the AHL.
they didn't wave a nobody to bring Clark up either. Like, the guy they waived was a first round
pick. Bjornfoot.
Yeah. How did the one article put that I read said he got the too much too soon? Type thing is what are Cole's notes version.
I don't know, but
that's what that was written about him.
I read a different article. It might have been from LA, but it was about taking those low offensive upside defensemen has not worked well for LA in the past. We remember as Saskatchewan guys, Colton Tubert,
mm-hmm.
Right? That didn't work out. this guy. Now, there were a couple other names mentioned. I got dad brain, so I can't remember who they are. But it really goes to show you that puck-moving defensemen, like, because LA, I think, could have sent Spence down without waivers. I don't think he was at the waiver mark. But instead, they chose to waive a guy who's probably going to get claimed and call up Brent Clark. So it's an interesting sort of no coming back move, in my opinion.
And the other interesting thing, too, is was it for Fiala they traded Faber to Minnesota? And look at what Faber's doing in Minnesota right now.
Faber in a first, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I love Brock Faber. You guys see him in the playoffs last year as a pure rookie? He was their best defenseman in the playoffs. Like, he was...
He's still playing ridiculous minutes. Like, it's...
Yeah.
So if you're LA, Ryan, if you're LA, do you want that trade back?
LA is really deep on D. I mean, yes, you want Faber. It's too soon to say. I think LA is a cup favorite for the next couple of years, especially if Dubois ever gets his SHIT together.
Gets his poop in a group, yep.
Yeah, if he gets going, they are a three-line threat. We've seen their D. Their D is punishing. Like, we beat them the last 2 years, and it wasn't because of their D. It was their goaltending, and the year before we went nuclear. But their D is not to blame. They have a very good D core, and they were light up front, and they're still light up front as far as prospects go. So I don't think they regret that trade yet. If they win a cup, they're fine with that trade. If we're 5 years down the road and they haven't won a cup, Brock Faber's going to make them regret it. Like, it's cup or bust for LA. So I don't think they regret it yet, just because, I mean, you trade from a position of strength to fill out your weaknesses. That's good management. That's good fantasy hockey. That's good
for sure.
NHL hockey. I don't think they regret it, but I don't think they also saw. We knew Faber was a shutdown guy. He was a shutdown guy in college. I think off the top of my head, I haven't looked in a while, but I think he was like 0.5, 0.6 points per game in college.
Okay.
To step into the NHL and do what he's doing and have the two-way upside, I think was a little bit of a surprise for a lot of people, for Brock Faber fantasy owners, for Minnesota fans. Like, who knew? So,
yeah.
And he's had every opportunity in Minnesota, and he's taken it. I've been chasing the guy since day one of the year, mostly because I'm in cap leagues. So right. As a rookie, he has a nice little cap. But Faber is unreal. He's probably the MVP of that Minnesota team so far. He's obviously not going to win any Rookie of the Year awards this year, but he's a cornerstone kind of defenseman for sure.
I read right now, if you take the dead cap money that Minnesota and that has, they are
15 mil.
two-thirds of their salary cap is on IR right now. Plus,
oh yeah, with Kaprizov and Spurgeon.
Yeah, Spurgeon, and then like the Gus. Gus's contract isn't that big, but yeah, it was then, over 50 million tied up in dead cap and IR right now.
Well, yeah, because does it tell you what the number is on Parise and Sutter still? Because they're in the heaviest years.
14 million total, so it's 7 inches.
Yeah, 7 apiece. Like, that's insane. I mean, the ball's on Bill Guerin to make that move. to walk in and just be like, our franchise guys are gone. The best day of our franchise is up in flames, and let's move forward. And they have. And they have an exciting future. They have a lot of young players coming. That Yurov is doing big things in the KHL. Have you guys talked about this KHL contract thing at all?
No.
Have you heard about this? Putin wants KHL young players signed to like 5-year deals exclusively now. He doesn't want guys leaving for the States. So nothing has happened, but the fact that he said it, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with Russian prospects as far as being drafted goes and as far as what the next few contracts look like. Because if the next couple of kids sign 5-year deals, like, where does Demidov go next year? He was talked about as top three this year. Who knows what will happen? But anyways, I digress. Minnesota's got a couple good prospects coming. They've got 15 mil coming off the cap in the next few years slowly. Mm-hmm. They'll be back.
Definitely.
Well, we're coming up to the break here, Bruce. Should we rip through some other stuff before we get to the break?
Sure. So my question is, when did they do the transfusion to Connor McDavid to Warren Fogle? Like, he looked like I look at his stat line, it's like, holy crap, like what happened to him? Like, did they put the wrong stick or the wrong skates on him or something? Or
Ryan's not having it.
Ryan's out.
Do you want to go first? I'll just sit here and wave my hands around like a
drunken maniac. Wave your hands. I mean, like, I'm just really happy to see Warren Fogle doing something. He's been gripping the stick really tight for like five seasons now, and it's good to see him putting some points together. So that's great. He's a big body, he can skate well, and when he's putting pucks in the net, he's a valuable player. 8 points now in his last five games, I think. So he's getting an opportunity. The Oilers need somebody who can step up, and he's done that. So it's interesting to see. It's unexpected, right, to get some depth from Warren Fogle. Like, I mean, I don't know. Ryan, you finished waving your hands. What are your thoughts?
I'm controlling my breathing.
Yeah, it's a pleasant surprise for me. It's a really pleasant surprise for me.
All right. I'm gonna lead into this by saying I've talked with a lot of non-Oiler fans about Warren Fogle, and what I've heard from multiple people is it's wild, because if you just look at the screen and the angles right, you see the seven, and you're like, oh, wow, McDavid's doing crazy things. And then it comes time to finish the play, and the puck goes into the corner, or the puck misses the net, or the puck. You know, like, Warren Fogle, when he was with Carolina, he had some memorable highlight reel goals, but the guy cannot finish. Like, he cannot finish for the life of him. It was one of those games where it all came together, but like, have they found someone? Is this Warren Fogle? Not a chance. He's going to blow four prime scoring opportunities within the next, like, maybe he's on a heater, but like, Warren Fogle is one of those guys who, if you're building a wonderful hockey player, he's got like 8 of the 10 things you'd want him to have, but the two things he's missing kind of stops him from being an effective top sixer.
Sure. That's fair.
You know, like, he can check and he can skate and he can dangle, but he can't beat a goalie, and he misses a heck of a lot more shots than he lands. So I don't know, like, really exciting game. Really nice to see it for old McLovin, but like, I just, sort of a one-off for me.
But it's interesting, right? Because he's playing with Dreisaitl and McLeod, which is not a line I would have put together.
Are we going to talk about McLeod next? Because I could talk about McLeod all day.
You got 2 minutes.
They've been what a great line that has turned into. You're exactly right. Dreisaitl, you look at it on paper and you're like, this guy's getting the shaft, and Kane's not playing with them, and you got Hyman and Nuge on line one, and Fogle and McLeod have turned McLeod's season around. Certainly, it's the best hockey we've seen. It's the best stretch we've seen from Fogle in a year. And Dreisaitl isn't even the guy racking up the points. Like, I don't think he's cleared more than 3 points in a game in a while. It's been Fogle. McLeod's on a goal scoring streak, playing the best hockey that they've played. So it's great to see if this can keep going. That's wonderful. I don't know rest of schedule how I feel about it, but right now that line is a very, very pleasant surprise. And it was real important for McLeod to get it going, because he was looking like he was ready to take the next step last year.
Yeah.
And the first 20 games of this year, he was trade fodder. Zero goals, three assists, something stupid like that. And then all of a sudden he starts going to the greasy areas with this line, and it clicks. I'll never understand how these professional players looking for their next contract don't go to those areas, but I'm glad to see he did and has and will.
That makes two of us.
Yeah, and Holloway should be back here pretty soon too. I think he
got sent to the A today for
conditioning.
Yeah,
get some playing time down there before they bring him back up, because he was playing. I thought he was playing well before his knee met the boards there in that one game.
He's been a victim of being terrified, because with Woodcroft, if he made a single mistake, he was stable to the bench.
Yeah.
They haven't given the guy any leash whatsoever. And we all remember last preseason, he was like, I put money on him to win Rookie of the Year during that preseason. He was crushing it.
10 seconds here, guys, and then we go to our break. So we can talk some more Hollywood when we come back. We'll talk some more Oilers, because we got lots more to talk there. We'll see you guys in a couple minutes.
And we're back here at the Hacks Hangout on Edmonton Sports Talk. We are talking about the Edmonton Oilers, because we're just hacking our way through our show notes for today. So just continue right along with that. Where were we? I forgot already. It's been that
Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Let's talk about Nuge.
All right, let's talk about Nuge. One for 21, really?
Yeah, before Nugent scored on the power play, they were 1 for 21 on the power play.
Yeah, they had all even strength goals against, was the Anaheim or San Jose? Dad brain. Anyways, they're all even strength.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. So the power play merchants are finally scoring at even strength. How are they going to look if they start scoring the power play consistently again?
That'll be scary. Very scary.
Better?
Stock up.
Yeah. Stock up, boys. Looking forward to that. Nuge scored a couple beauties last night. That one pass from McDavid, he handled that like a champ, bar down. Loved it.
I mean, McDavid was God level last night. That was Warren Fogle could have netted those goals. That was... I mean, that
tap-ins.
Yeah, ball, Nuge did roof it, but he had like 90% of the. I mean, that pass to Hyman, the behind the back blind pass.
McDavid that was stupid. Made. For his 900 like points?
Like that. The guy just. Yeah. It's say what you want, and I've said some things I wanted to say. When McDavid's playing his best hockey, it is awe inspiring. We are so lucky to be able to watch this guy 82 plus games a year in Edmonton or, you know, as Edmonton fans and cup or not, it is, you know, you got to remember these times because it was pretty dark before he got here, boys.
little dark.
You guys remember Hope?
Oh boy, do we ever.
Oh, the Omar Spinarama goal and Jesse the other Swede who had the same name as Puljujarvi.
Magnus Puljujarvi.
Maggie had that hat trick in the preseason that year. I was in Edmonton for that camp and I was he might be the best of them all. And like it all went away so fast.
Mm-hmm. It really did.
So we're lucky. We're lucky to get to see talent like this. He's something else. Nuge certainly did have a game, and he is very important to that power play. I'd like to see Bouchard have a 5-point game one of these nights.
I'm
not complaining.
No
I'm not
complaints complaining about Bouchard.
When I told everyone he was going to be a top 3 to 5 fantasy defenseman this year, I did expect more 0 games and 5 games than we've seen.
Okay,
he's had a lot of ones and twos.
Yep.
I expected to see more like goose eggs and like 4 3 to 5 point nights than we've seen so far. We haven't seen that, you know, giant monster game from him yet. He's been incredible, but it's just, it's, I have him in every league because I bought in as a 3 to 5. The only one is in our silly, what's it called? Yahoo.
The Yahoo League.
I don't think I've set my line in a month. That's the only league I don't have him in. And I still beat you last week, Dev. I tuned in on Thursday and I was like, oh, shoot.
I was doing so good and I don't know what happened. And then it was like, I looked and I was like, oh, I lost to Ryan. I don't know what's going on. But
set his lines. He's going to take over my Twitter, darn it.
No. But I agree. Yeah, Bouchard's been fantastic. And Daily Faceoff actually just released an article yesterday saying that he's a candidate for the Norris this year. This is my opinion, but I thought that's interesting that he's even getting Norris consideration given where he was a year ago from a lot of people, right?
Given where he was a month and a half ago. Or
even earlier in the season.
Like I get it. If he hadn't had that month and a half where he was like directly responsible for almost every minus he had, I'd agree. Quinn Hughes and Kel McCarr aside, I do think what we're seeing from him makes him a future candidate for those discussions. Like certainly Willie plays with Ekholm and under Knobloch, he has been let's say average defensively. Average defensively, when you're an 85, 90 point defenseman, there isn't a team in the league that doesn't take that. So it's great to see. I don't know that he's going above Hughes or McCarr, but top 3 to 5, you know? All the real ones said top 3 to 5 this year.
Let's see where he's at the year's end, right? I mean, I don't know. We'll see. The other one is Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
He leads all players in goals since November 11th, and he's now on pace for 53 goals in the season.
That would be nice.
Let's
That'd
hold
be very
on.
Nice.
You're bearing the lead here, pal. More importantly, he has as many points, last I checked, as Austin Matthews. Let's see. Matthews has 44. Is he above him? Recently, he still had the same amount of points as Matthews did. Looks like he's fallen off a little bit. But, like...
No, that's a big deal. Yeah.
Toronto fans, man, they are just like so mad. And it's a little bit of pushback on the Jack Campbell deal. And now Samsonov is in the AHL just like Campbell. And we got Hyman for half the price of Matthews. And
can I get a little bit of credit for that? Because
I didn't hear it. What'd you say?
Oh, Bruce, do you recall what I said about Samsonov being waived?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I think Evan was on the show, Ryan. You weren't here. This is a couple weeks ago. And I said, guys, looking at how Martin Jones is playing right now, and you know Joseph Woll is your guy, and Samsonov, this is the end of his contract. He's a UFA at the end of the season. Why not waive him, right? Like, just keep Martin Jones playing the way he's playing. Waive Samsonov. And then Evan said, why don't you try and trade him? I said, yeah, let's freaking try and trade him. But I was like, realistically, they're not going to carry three goaltenders, right? And who's taking him? So I said, waive the guy. And lo and behold, here we are 2 weeks later, and it just makes me so happy.
You know, I will gladly take a co-GM job in the NHL with you, Devin. I think that we've had some really good ideas on this show. I still think we should have waived Connor Brown. Between waiving Connor Brown and trading and waiving Ilya Samsonov, I think
we
could we could GM Vegas because we could do Vegas. Yeah, we could do this, man.
Ruthless.
That's a great call. They called up Hildeby, who's doing well in the AHL, and Wall, he should be back relatively soon. That's a great call on your part.
Thank you, sir. And I think we didn't give Connor enough love here. I mean, we do lots, but fifth fastest all time to 900 points. And somebody actually, I think it was from Hockey Reference, with era-adjusted scoring, said he actually is third on that list.
So he was like, if he didn't start the season slow, he probably would have been third.
Yeah.
He normally starts seasons hot. Little lull in the middle, and then goes nuclear into the playoffs. Yeah. He was right behind. Is it Bossy and Stasny? I think he was like within 20 points.
Yeah. So
he's forget era adjusted. Like, he was one hot streak away.
Wayne Gretzky, Mary Lemieux, Connor McDavid, all in the same conversation.
I'll give it time. It'll just be the one guy.
I just took a look at the scoring stats here. So Hyman has got 37 points. Mitch Marner has 38. And Matthews is 44.
Yeah, okay, there it is. Hyman was closer. They were tied last time I was talking about this. And still, I mean, who do you take? Cap League? Who are you taking in a Cap League? You're taking Hyman 10 times out of 10, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Like this year? Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I have the balls to make a trade like that in Dynasty, but...
Well, and I think that line, so the Oilers' first line with Hyman, McDavid, and Nuge is... If not the best line in the league, it's the second best line, right? Like, it's right
the best
there
by a lot. I saw the stat you're talking about. I can't remember what, if it was Corsi or
somebody. Just, yeah, like, chances, I can't remember the
but
source,
they but were like they were, you know,
head and shoulders above everybody
else. Yeah, it's
crazy.
Ridiculous. Yeah, you can't break them up. Poor Leon. Remember when it was Leon and Connor? Poor Leon owners.
Leon's still doing just fine. I mean, Bruce, any complaints about Draisaitl in fantasy?
Not really. No, he's been doing all right. Hyman's only 1 point behind Draisaitl, though.
Draisaitl
has got 30. Where did I see him here? He has got... Oh, sorry. He's got 42 points. Sorry. So he's got a small lead on Hyman, but still 42 points in 35 games. You can't complain about that. Like,
no. And he
he's gotten going too. That snipe that snipe the other night from the goal line was a shot he's been missing for 2/3 of the year so far. So it's nice to see. And he knew it, right? like, you were watching him play and he was just like, what happened? now he's back. He's not looking at his stick anymore. So I'd expect his point per game to keep going.
Well, he absolutely rifled that shot from the top of the circle. That pass from McDavid, like, just
that was
ripped it.
Yeah. Yeah, those are that's the Leon we're used to seeing, right? He scores a couple goals that only a couple guys in the league can score, and he ends up at 120 points because of it. That's the difference between 100-point Leon and 120 is he gets those, you know, a little bit of McDavid bump and then a couple of those shots where it's like you have no business scoring on. Like that goal line shot was, how many guys in the league can make that shot? And Darnell Nurse made that pass? You're telling me Darnell Nurse made that pass? That, boys, I am not being the least bit sarcastic when I say that was a $9.25 million pass. That was
It sure was.
He's getting closer to earning that contract.
He is not, but it was a very nice pass.
And how many guys, Ryan, can put the net back on before they score the goal from that point?
That's one of my favorite goals in recent memory.
For sure it is.
Like where he put that shot afterwards too.
Yep.
There was a slant the size of a puck, and he's like, "Well, I put the net on. I may as well put the puck in the little puck-sized hole right there." It was like that was Leon. I think you and I have had this discussion.
Yeah.
But like I go back and forth on who my favorite player is.
Absolutely.
All the time. When Leon's got that big swing and stick energy, he is just like, he is so fun to watch, and his attitude is great. You know, when he's pissy, it is like, look out. He's putting the team on his back. Yeah. He's so fun to watch.
In the playoffs, he's a different animal. He's a monster, right? Like nothing against McDavid. Obviously I love McDavid, but you watch what Drysdale's done in a couple playoff runs and it's phenomenal. He puts a team on his back. It's crazy. Yeah.
Can we? I didn't see this in the notes. Did you guys see what friggin' Alex Pietrangelo did the other night?
I did. What an absolute tool.
I am never, you know, there are two things in Oilers history that make my blood boil, and then they just always will. And thankfully, I'm having a dad moment. Who was the coach who Taylor Hall accidentally got a little bit of water on him and he freaked out? Coach, what was his name with the hair?
That's a good question. Yeah, I'm having the same moment.
I hate him so much. Like every time we play Anaheim and they'd show, it's driving Eakins? Me nuts. Bruce.
Eakins, Dallas Eakins.
Yes.
Dallas Eakins?
Dallas Eakins. The Swarm? Like Dallas Eakins just pisses me off. He makes me so angry. And a lot of it came from that Hall slammed a water bottle and a little bit of water got in Eakins. And he got in Hall's face and I was just like, what is your. Anyways, I hate Dallas Eakins and. That slash on Alex Pietrangelo or on Leon Draisaitl, and the subsequent one game suspension to him and Nurse will, I'll be on my deathbed and I'll still be protesting that nonsense because it like, and then he does it again and again like he didn't get suspended. I didn't even see a fine, like
absolutely brutal.
Over the head slash. Like what are we doing here?
Yeah. And obviously, Pietrangelo's got some incriminating photos of somebody, George Parros or otherwise, at the Department of Player Safety.
George Parros is a walking incriminating photo of himself. Have you seen that caveman? I'm so sick of that guy.
Boy.
Speaking of suspensions, we should probably talk about what went on with Jason Zucker and Nick Cousins, because that pissed me off too. Nick Cousins has to be one of the dirtiest buggers in the NHL. And so, like, if you saw the play, Bruce, I can't remember who he hit. Basically, ran the guy's head into the board, into the dasher. Jason Zucker comes over, hits him, and he hit him from behind, and he bounced off the boards. But like, honestly, it wasn't that bad. Like, he probably deserved worse for the play that he had just done. And Zucker gets 3 games, and Nick Cousins again gets nothing. Right, so it's like Nick Cousins with good Branson, that whole situation. Now here he is again, like 2 weeks later. Nick Cousins just needs to exit stage left. I'm tired of looking at that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a Rafi Torres, that dude.
Maybe the Leafs need to play them and he can start Ryan Reeves and maybe Reeves can be useful.
I doubt that very much.
Has Reeves even played a game lately?
I don't think so. Great question. He's hurt. He's on IR. He's been on IR for... Yeah, he... Through remember, he crashed into the boards.
Oh, yeah.
You see the play? He acted like a goofball the shift earlier. And then the very next shift, he speed wobbled and went at first. Like, Ryan Reeves seems like a pretty fun dude, but like, I love that. I got time for that. And you know what? Leafs fans ain't even going to be mad at me because they know they're a better team without Ryan Reeves on the cap. So good for them. Congratulations, Leafs fans. No Samsonovs, no Ryan Reeves, no Klingberg. You might have a shot this year.
Oh, man.
And the next year, they're going to have to find a way to pay William Nylander.
Yeah, we spent a good chunk of our second last episode talking about this, talking about letting guys go to UFA unsigned, like Gaudreau, like Nylander, like Gensel this year. And I'm of the opinion you don't go past January 15th with them either signed or traded. Because now Nylander's, he's got you by the scruffies, you know?
It's the short and curlies.
He's screwed.
The Leafs are going to end up paying him $12
million. Yeah. And the thing is, and you see it, I don't have any figures in front of me. I have my brain, which is slowly laying me down in old age. But I'm going to say 80% of the time, when a guy gets paid in his contract season, he might have one more season, two more seasons like he did in his contract year. In the next contract in total. People were talking at the start of the year when he was on that, what it was, 16 game point streak?
It was like 17 or 18 games, yeah.
He might be the best player in the NHL. You're aware his contract is up this year, right? Like before you said that, you knew that? Because right now, these last 16 games, sure, best player in the NHL. I'll give you that, Leafs fans. Plan the parade. But like over 82 game
that span. Was Martin Jones in net, you're not.
Like, get out of here. And I just think, and I was actually even heavier on it. I say you don't even go into, if I'm the GM of a hockey team, which I wish I was because I'm so good at fantasy hockey, I don't go into the season with that guy on the roster. If you won't sign that year, I'm not going to be, because look at what happened with Trevelyan in Calgary 2 years ago. You can't trade Kachuk. You can't trade Gaudreau. We're first in the division. You can't trade these guys. And then it like literally destroyed their franchise.
Yeah.
You know, they were able to salvage a season. Now they got the worst contract in hockey. They don't know if they're in, out, up or down. And it's all because they, you know, Tavares in the aisle. I'd like it. Mm-hmm. I'd like to stay. No. If you want to stay, you sign a contract before October 1st. If you don't like it, you're on the market, man. Like it's end of story. Because as the GM, you're the one who's going to be eating it for the next 4 months. No one else. It's you. Can't trade them. The number you're going to re-sign them at is going to be too high. You're losing. Unless you win a Stanley Cup that year, you're losing. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I think it's ridiculous. Gensel now, like what's Dubas going to do with Gensel?
Gensel gets signed. I'm pretty confident Gensel gets signed.
Why isn't he signed already?
This is a great question, but I'm quite confident he gets signed. Nylander, for $12 million, Bruce, I'm letting him walk all day and twice on Sunday.
Oh, you look at outside the last couple of years, he was there for a couple of weeks. He's gone for a couple of weeks. He was there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Gone for a couple of weeks.
Probably their best playoff performer, though, consistently.
Absolutely, in the playoffs,
that's not saying much.
And that's
that's like six games a year, fellas. That's not nothing.
Okay,
I am going to.
He's not wrong though.
I am going to disagree though. I don't think you can let Willie Nylander walk. And much like before the pandemic, so we'll say like 4 or 5 years ago, $12 million today is $9 million in 2 or 3 years. The cap's going up. I don't think you can let a guy like Nylander just walk like over $2 million.
You can't pay him that with the roster they have currently, right? Like, how can you afford to pay Nylander 12 and Matthews and Marner and?
Well, you take a year off. You have a down year. They've actually got some money next year.
Brody's done.
Yeah, they've got some.
Tuzi and Domi's contracts expire. That's five.
Klingberg's gone. Samsonov's
there's
gone.
There's $13 million right there. So
yeah, plus Nylander's current 6.7 or something. So I don't think you can let him walk, but you have hurt your team to the tune of $2 to $3 million by not agreeing to the 9.5 that was rumored early on, and they should have. I mean, they should have signed again 9.5 in the summer last year. The cap's going up 15-20 mil in the next few years. It is. Well, they've paid back the escrow. The cap is going up. Have you seen Alan? Do you guys follow Alan Walsh on Twitter? The like super famous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sport?
Okay.
Yeah.
You see when he talks about what the NFL and MLB and NBA caps have done in the last 6 years, and the NHL is just a flat line. Like it has to go up because it's a joke. You know, the owners have so devastatingly won this CBA that when the next CBA comes, and now that the escrow is gone, the players are going to get paid more. So I don't think you're letting these guys walk if you know what's good for you. But it might cause a year of maybe they're not quite as good next year as they were this year. But, like, I don't know. You can't let him walk. I'd trade someone else, keep Nylander. Because you get nothing if Nylander walks. You keep Nylander, you trade whatever, Marner, Matthews, any of them. At least you're getting assets.
Yeah, you have to manage your assets. I understand that. But I would not pay him $12 million. I don't think he's that player. But
I agree. I completely agree. What's your leverage, Devin? You and I are co-GM of this team. What's our leverage? We go, he says, I want 12 and then I'll stay. And we say, we don't want to pay you 12. He goes, okay, you know I can sign with any team starting on the first, right? And we go,
right, that's a good point. That's a good, no, I don't know.
Do you love Toronto? Don't you love the media here?
Oh, yeah, no, that's a hard pass.
Yeah, our tax rates are amazing. What's a Tampa or a Dallas? Like, no.
He's going to South Beach or he's going to Texas. Yeah, that's exactly
You're Willy Wonka at that point, man. You get nothing.
You get
zero. Zilch. Do not pass go. Yeah, they're screwed. They're screwed because they went into the season in this position. They put themselves in this position. It's stupid. And if I ever get my dream job as a GM, I'm available to any NHL owners listening. None of my players that are part of my core are going into the season with UFA status pending. It's just not happening. It's not.
There you go. Bruce, we're going to come up to a break here again in a couple minutes. So I'm thinking maybe, is there anything else we want to talk about around the league? The one thing that stuck out to me here is the Cam Talbot numbers.
Yeah, so I was taking a look at some zero G options because my goaltending's a little thin on my two teams. So I was looking at that. And so Cam Talbot's numbers, so as of last night, he had the second best goals against average in the NHL based on 15 games played at 2.10, the fourth best save percentage at .924. So I looked up his average Yahoo ADP, 169.
Nice.
Like he's this year's Linus Ullmark.
That's fantastic value. And Bruce, did we not talk about this in the preseason and in the summertime? Well,
you were all over it, and I'm like, there's no bloody way he's going to be that good.
I thought you were on board with me. I was all Team Talbot. Okay, you too, right? Yeah,
it
yeah,
was just, you and me. Yeah, we were having this discussion just before you left.
Not a chance to tell.
Yeah, so hey, co-GMs, right here. Yeah. We knew.
I will say I don't. Just because both you and I were on the same page with Talbot, I got 100%. Torched for saying that might be one of the best value signings of the summer. And everyone said, did you see what he did in Minnesota and Ottawa? Yeah, but you seen what LA did for Korpisalo? Yep, Korpisalo shouldn't be getting paid what he's getting paid out in Ottawa. I will say, I think that because you and I, 66% of this panel, did see Talbot coming, I take Ingram or Decord as being the biggest surprise this year. Those guys came out.
That's fair.
Nowhere. Like,
yeah.
It was Talbot and Copley. So you knew Talbot was going to start in LA and you knew LA was going to be good. And like some idiots were drafting Phoenix Copley. I don't know what the heck.
I agree with you 100%.
I want some of that weed. But what like, are you? No one drafted. No one drafted Connor Ingram and no one drafted Joey Decord. And like,
yes.
These guys are both. So Decord is sixth in save percentage. Ingram's 11th, but he's like 0.14 behind sixth. Like he's right. And he plays for Arizona, you guys. They're not good. Yeah.
No, not at all.
It's not a good hockey team.
He's the only reason why they're good.
And shutouts, I think Ingram. Oh, there it is. Connor Ingram leads the league in shutouts.
That's crazy. That's four. Honestly just crazy. A stupid stat.
Like you know who's tied for second? And our tied for third is our boy, Stuart Skinner, and then the guy who personally helped me for the first 5 weeks, Jonas Johansson, is right there too. So not a lot of shutouts this year, first of all. Wow. But Ingram's first, so yeah, nuts.
But if you would ask me at the start of the season who is more likely to be the starting goaltender for their team, Joey Decord or Connor Ingram, I would have said Joey Decord based on the fact that Grubauer has struggled the last couple seasons, right? And then you've got Chris Drieger there, and really, what's he done, right?
Jones was the one that held Seattle in place last year until Grubauer was figuring stuff out.
He didn't figure anything out. what did he figure out? What his paycheck was worth if he just sat on the bench?
He was okay, very briefly in the playoffs.
He did against the Avs. He found his game, but that was a revenge tour. That was like predictably motivated.
So before we get, because Bruce got about 3 minutes here, we'll go to our break. We'll come back. We'll do hot and not. One thing I wanted to mention that's not in this upcoming segment here is Jonathan Drouin. And I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. I certainly was not over the holidays, but Alan Walsh, credit where credit's due, 10 points in 10 games for Jonathan Drouin. And really? He's been playing massive minutes, over 21 and a half minutes last night.
Holy crap.
For the app. So I went and swiped him in a couple leagues, Bruce, which I'm sure will be to your chagrin. But filling out my roster, buddy.
Both of my teams have been on a roll, so it's got to come crashing down at some point. So
sneaky good pickup there, because a lot of people were on the Drouin train at the start of the year, and he did not start well. And he was dropped. I think at one point I saw his Fantrax own percentage was at like 9%. And then these last 20 games, man, it's he is saving his career, maybe. As long as if he's not with the Avs next year. Who's signing that guy, though? Like, do you trust him to play outside of Colorado?
No, I think he has to prove it for at least another season in Colorado. Yeah. And I think they'll be willing to give him a chance if he can maintain this for the rest of the season, right?
Well, he'll sign for another mill.
His roster spot could be Arturi Letkinen is practicing now in full with the Avalanche, so that could be very short-lived.
Well, and have you guys talked about Nikolai Kovalenko at all on this show?
No.
No.
Ooh.
You got a minute and a half.
Yeah,
I need more time. Nikolai Kovalenko, his contract in the KHL ends this year. He's 24. He's like a Tyler Bertuzzi type on Boston.
Okay.
He is going to come over as soon as the KHL season is over, and he will probably also push for a top six spot in Colorado. Maybe he starts on line three, but like he's legit. He is a power forward. He is big. He hits. He scores. Goes to the nets. Goes to all the grease areas. He's going to be, for all you Hacks listeners out there, keep an eye out. He'll probably hit North America in March. Worth a snag. Like, this guy's going to be worth a snag because Colorado doesn't have a full top six unless Drouin's going to hold that spot. But Kovalenko's worth looking at. So Drouin's got some competition coming for sure.
But for now, nice pickup.
Nice pickup, Bruce. Way to win that Yahoo League, man. Like, we're all just so impressed.
I'm not going to win. My Yahoo! Team's not that good. My team's not that good. It looks pretty for right now, but it's a house of cards that's coming down at some point.
So to your point, Ryan, it was, I think, 4% in ESPN and 8% in Yahoo, the percentage of ownership for Drouin. Yeah. So,
nice.
But with that, guys, we're going to run a break here and we will be back in a couple of minutes.
And welcome back to the Hacks Hangout here on Edmonton Sports Talk. I think we are going to move into the hot or not section now, I think.
We've kind of
splashed our way through the notes up until this point. So, and the first guy on the hot list, we've already chatted a little bit about him tonight, but hey, he managed to shut out the Golden Knights here in the Winter Classic 3-0. So let's give some more love to Mr. Joey Decord.
I was quite happy to see that. I was rostering him. I think I picked him up maybe the day before, not realizing he'd been quite as hot as he had been. And his last four games, 4-0 record, and a .99 goals against, and a .971 save percentage. Ride him ways off, Bruce.
Yeah, I picked him up just before. Well, I needed a third goalie because I was rostering one of Detroit's goalies, and they all got hurt except for Reimer, and Reimer's terrible. So I needed another goalie, and I saw Decord won a few games, so I figured, well, I'll pick him up and see how long he lasts, and then. Yeah, I got 25 points out of him out of that Winter Classic game, so I can't complain whatsoever. So,
nope, not at all. It's good to see. It's a good story.
No, it is very good. And Seattle's doing well.
Seattle's going to be a scary team if they ever figure out their goaltending. Like long term.
Yeah. Could this be the guy? Could this be the guy?
It's so hard for me to have these discussions because I'm dynasty, you know? And like, yep. Is he the guy this year? Probably. What are you doing this year? But like, if I'm making a run for a dynasty title this year and I need a goalie, am I trading for Joey DeCord? Like, I got to bank on him next year too. Maybe he's got a 3-year contract in there. Like, I don't know. That's a tough one. I think Seattle will still be listening on goalies going forward. But for the rest of the year, I don't think anyone's taking that spot from him.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Joey DeCord, Philip Gustafson, they both came from Ottawa, did they not? A team that can't seem to get a goaltender to get a save.
I believe so. Yeah.
Hey, listen, don't poop where you eat, pal. Cam Talbot almost won a Vezina after he left Edmonton.
Well, hey, Bruce, Robin Leonard came from Ottawa too.
Yes, he did. That is very true. He sure did.
Yeah. So they know how to draft goalies. They don't know how to keep them.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, it speaks to Ottawa as a team, right? Are we talking about Ottawa today?
Well, let's talk about it briefly because we didn't talk about it in the earlier segment here.
Like, zero coaching bump. That's weird.
Didn't even last two periods.
It did. Yeah, I think it lasted two periods. It didn't last three.
Yeah, they were up 3-0, and then they totally crapped the bed and lost 4-3 in the first game. So.
Yeah, and the next day, I think they went up 2-0 again. That team, you know, honestly, like, going into the year, I might be repeating myself. Going into the year, everyone said one of Detroit, Buffalo, and Ottawa, one or more of them is going to push for a playoff spot this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit is pushing for a playoff spot. They have not been good since Patrick Kane came in. It's not his fault. But Buffalo and Ottawa have just regressed massively. And like, you look at those rosters, whether you're NHL or fantasy, both those rosters have a lot of guys who I got time for. And
yeah,
but as a team, they just can't. Like, they lost, what, 6-3, I think, is what the final was last night against Vancouver. But they were down 5-0 early. Like, it was like 5-0 after the first or 4-0 after the first.
Forsberg didn't even work up a sweat and he got pulled.
Yeah, like, they can't defend. And Tim Stutzel, what the heck is going on there? And Brady Tkachuk, like, Giroux's the only guy doing what you'd expect him to do. And I would argue Batherson has been money for the last, like, month or so.
Yeah.
But I really like Jake Sanderson. But as a team, like, just nothing. No cohesiveness. Can't defend. So I'm not surprised that goalies leave Ottawa and do better because they're probably, like, they get better rest. Their back hurts less. They don't have to deal with Canadian media anymore. Like, here's a potential tweak to the 0G strategy going forward. 0G plus whoever left Ottawa last.
I like it. I know
I take a look in our ESPN league. All the goalies I drafted this year are available on the waiver wire. That's how bad. Nice. That was my 0G this year. I drafted Corpusalo and I drafted Kemper. And they are both available on the waiver wire right now because they're both terrible.
Bruce, one of these days, you and I are going to have a conversation about this new upstart software called Fantrax. Because it sounds to me like you're exclusively Yahoo and ESPN. And just, I'm like the dude over here. It cannot abide. It cannot. We gotta move you over, pal.
I'm in.
I'm
all for it.
All right.
Well, take a look. I do like Fantrax. I will say, Ryan, like, for as much as you've ribbed me about Yahoo and ESPN and everything else, there's a lot of cool things that Fantrax has going on.
Fantrax has it all. It's got, I've been on in cap leagues. There isn't another option that works as well as Fantrax does. And I'm not here to pump their tires, but also, like, your league, the listeners league, is the first non Fantrax league I've done in probably 5 years. And I hate it.
But he's on board because he loves the hack. So
no,
because
I get to take over your Twitter when I beat you. I don't even have to win the league. I just have to beat you, and that's in the bag.
Yeah, right now I haven't even really been paying attention. So let's move on. Yeah, what do we got going on here for the rest of our Hot Not segment, Bruce?
All right, the next guy on the list for Hot is Mr. Austin Matthews.
Just scored the winner 5 minutes ago in overtime.
Hey, they actually won.
They beat the Ducks 2-1.
Oh, that was it's a game where it's one of those trap games.
It's a trap game. They'd started their backup. It was my brain just Dostal, who I really like as a future goaltender, but they started Dostal.
Half the Ducks lineups got the flu.
Yeah.
And they only lost and they only beat them 2-1.
Yeah, Anaheim got a point out of that one.
I would have got some points too if Matthews got the game winning goal, because I got Matthews in the Yahoo League.
Jeez, Bruce. It's the Fantasy Hacks show, plural, not the Fantasy Bruce show. That's a different show, and it's rated PG-18, you know?
I for the first time in a long time, my ESPN team and my Yahoo team are both winning. That never happens. It's usually one or the other or never. So I got to ride the hot streak while I can, because, like I said, at some point, it's all going for crap. So I got to ride this out while I can.
Yeah, Bruce isn't sure what to do with himself.
Bruce, I look at my roster and it's like, I should make some changes. Like, no, you're winning. Don't make any changes.
That's right. Usually this time of year, you're playing possum this time of year.
Bruce, either of these leagues for money? You walking away rich this year?
ESPN one is, but I won't win that one. So.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't have the killer instinct for that one. So I'm indifferent to my ESPN roster because I drafted super heavy on forwards. To the point where I can't even really drop a forward because
they're too good.
My worst forward is when I drafted, my last pick of the draft was Mark Stone.
Mm. And well, he's been a surprise though. Like who thought that guy was going to play every game so far this season?
Exactly. And nobody in our league touched him. And I'm like, well, it's my last pick of the draft. I'll take him, right? And see how it goes. So it's, but I made a few moves. Like I dropped, what's his name there from Arizona? Schmaltz, because he decided to quit playing hockey. I picked up his line mate Michelli. He's doing better right now.
Michelli is a player. I like that guy a lot. So
I dropped Schmaltz from Michelli, and I think I forget who else I picked up. But like my forward on ESPN is stacked. My defense sucks. My goaltending is terrible. So there's no way unless I could find a good 0G option going into the playoffs, I have zero chance of winning. Zero.
It'll be tough because the goaltending points matter in that league.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do some heavy streaming if it comes to that. But
yep.
We'll see. It's always fun.
Totally fun. I'm 2-for-4. I'm rebuilding in two leagues, and the other two I'm in first place. So and
nice.
The two I'm in first place tally, I think it's like $1,900 if I win in both. I've done it once before, so I'm all in this year. I'm harassing guys, friends of mine. I'm texting them like 3 times a day. I'm like, let's go. Dude, I'm in last place. I don't care. Yeah, I can help you. I got draft picks. Let's go. You want to keep Sidney Crosby? Yeah. You want to keep Sidney Crosby? No, you don't want to keep Sidney Crosby. Give me Crosby.
Yeah, who wants to keep Sidney Crosby?
Yeah. And Yahoo, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep up to Jordan and, oh my God, I forgot his whoever the manager of Toffolis.
That Toffolis guy, man.
I can't keep up to the two of them. They will be my undoing.
I know it's a listeners league, so he might be listening. Toffolis, stop sending me trade offers. Stop it. They're ridiculous.
Every now and then from them.
They're ridiculous, and I'm mostly offended.
Who is that? I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I messaged you.
Oh,
I
said, you know what? Yeah, so Toffoliosis. He's a guy that I've actually never met him, but he listens to the podcast. We were chatting on Instagram, I think, or Twitter, and we were looking for some people, and he joined up. But he's hardcore. Like, he plays in a lot of leagues. He's right in there. So it's great to have him join the league. Makes it more competitive. Jordan, of course, he sent me another trade today, canceled it. Like, he's all over the place with trades. It's hilarious. But we love Jordan, regular listener to the show. Who else in here? Like, we got Craig from Five Hole.
I should take back what I said to full assist. I respect trying to take noobs on trades, but like I think after discovering you couldn't block trades on Yahoo, I messaged him back and I said, please stop or make your offers better, please. Like, just I don't need this at 2 o'clock in the afternoon where I'm like, oh, who do you think I am?
That's fair. Yeah. Bruce, Sean Jersey.
Yeah, so Jersey 7 points here, a goal and 6 assists in his last 4 games for the Coyotes. So that's good for them. So he is playing just under 23 minutes a night and just over 3 minutes a night on the power play, which means they get some power play time. Good for Mr. Jersey after he was kind of cast off there from LA to the Coyotes. So that's good. He's running their first power play unit. He's probably one of the few healthy defensemen they have.
Yeah, and he started off a little bit slow too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Had some stretches, but that's good. That's good to see starting to heat up again. So,
yeah, it's nice. The next guy on the list, I just updated the numbers. I didn't even delete any of the description because Sharon Govich has just been, he's been a point per game now for the past 10 games.
He's looked another really point. Good.
Yeah. And it's still, like I said, well, when I recorded on Sunday, they're like, how he, like, he's up to 35% in Yahoo now. And it's like, I can't believe he's still that low.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I don't know if people are ready to buy into Calgary yet.
That's a fair point. Yep.
That would be my guess.
His two line mates have not been good at all this year. So Lindholm and Huberto have not been that great this year. So
yeah.
Hey, Bruce, do you owe Huberto money? Not he hasn't been great this year. Bruce, you look better on skates than Huberto looks on skates now.
You know what?
That's saying something because I can't skate worth a damn.
Neither can I. I got messed up feet. I can't even wear the darn things, and I look better playing hockey than Huberto.
Both know Huberto has points in consecutive games now. So
for the
look
first
out.
Time in 140 games,
probably he's on his way up. So look
since
out.
The first time since the last time he played for Florida.
Dude, that yeah. Well, and Lindholm's going to get traded, so that's the other thing. Is he's not he's sticking to his 9 mil number with Calgary. He's not sticking around. They can't keep him past the deadline.
You think
unsigned.
He ends up in Boston?
I think he ends up in. I want to say Colorado. Joe Sakic is a guy who goes out and makes those deals. But Boston and Colorado certainly are the two teams that make the most sense because they both re-sign him. They can both afford him next year. So, and I think at that point, a future tip, pick up Lindholm when he leaves Calgary. He'll revert back to his 80, 90-point norm versus, what is he at now, like a 60-point pace or something? 63
or pick him up now and buy low, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, when he moves... He'll be good, but I get it. I think that Sharon Govich is a player. He's driving that line right now. But
that line.
Yeah, once you look at a team and see they're going down, it's hard to pick up like question marks from that team. I find, and you're like, do you count plus minus in the league because Calgary is losing games and. You know, so I kind of get it. He should be higher than 35%. I'm just saying I understand why some guys kind of shy away from him. Because also, who's watching Calgary now? I know a bunch of Calgary fans who aren't watching Calgary. I don't blame them. The ugly jerseys, they're a bad team. They've never won anything in their darn lives except for that one fluke year. And they're just unlikable. You know, it's an unlikable franchise. Their barn sucks. Their barn is trash. I could keep going.
Let's talk about Patrick Kane.
Let's talk about Patrick Kane. Devin likes talking about Patrick Kane, so we'll let Devin talk about him.
Oh, I love Patrick Kane. And he's finally playing like the Patrick Kane from 2013, 2015, or as close as he's ever going to get again. You know, he's not a spring chicken anymore, but he looks good. 13 points, 6 goals in 13 games. For those of us, not myself personally, but for Tyler and for some of our listeners who... snagged him off the waiver wire and stashed him early. This is, you know, returns at this point in the season. Underlying numbers look good. Underlying numbers, production has been boosted by Luck. So I'm looking at the shooting percentage at 13.5%. Which is well above his three-year average, and it's his best since 2015, 2016. So there's some things that,
What about, he had 92 points like 3 years ago.
But not at the high shooting percentage.
Oh, not at that. Gotcha. Sorry.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just think he's going to, that's going to come down. So this is his best year in terms of shooting percentage since 2015, 2016.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he is 35, 36 years old now, right? Like he's not, but this is really interesting to see because this is the first time that a player's had this type of surgery and has actually put up some points. So
it's good actually on been him. Productive.
Nick Backstrom just retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like for all intents and purposes. Yeah. And I'll say this, to say he's finally putting up points is like, I actually didn't think he'd be it. I thought he could reach this point per game level, but it wouldn't be for a month or two because he's missed so much time and with such a major surgery. I am shocked that he's doing what he's doing and looks as good as he is. It's a testament to that guy's desire to keep playing and be Patrick Kane again. Cause yeah, he looks good. But the team is like something like 3-7 since he joined. You get a point per game guy for free and you're
I feel like, well, Mo Sider is another guy seems to be struggling in Detroit. They did dick around with their goaltending situation, which kind of brings me to the next guy here. And that's James Reimer. He's struggled, right? Mightily. 1-4-2 record. 4.46 goals against an .864 save percentage. Like between him and Huso and now Alex Lyon, they've had some struggles in net,
guy.
Right?
Yeah,
but Alex that's your guy.
The guy going 100%.
100%. Yeah. So and he's even struggled here, Ryan, the last three games.
It's still better than what they had.
Agreed. But sub 900 save percentage in his last three starts, like he's starting to kind of show some somewhere too. So
the Mo Sider thing though is by design. Like Steve Yzerman went out and signed Goss Despair to that 1 year deal specifically to keep Mo Sider's deal under 10 mil. Like
for sure.
If he didn't have Goss Despair there, Sider plays power play one all year and he's a $10 million defenseman in the end. So for next year, I got all kinds of time for Mo still. But yes, this year in bash leagues, he's still unbelievable. He's top 10 in the league I'm in. But if you don't count blocks and hits, don't have Mo Sider. I accidentally traded McAvoy instead of Sider for a forward a while ago, and I'm kicking myself.
But I feel like you still expect some production out of Mo Sider, right, based on how well he played last year. It's just interesting. Disappointing, really, to see just the lack of production across the board in terms of offense.
Is he... I don't know the answer to this. I feel like he's trending to have the same year he had last year. So he's got 22 points in 38 games. Last year he had 42 and 82. So he's actually trending a little higher than last year. They like Detroit is very specifically not letting this guy hit 60 points this year because he's due for an extension. Like I don't watch enough Detroit to back that all the way, but it's obvious what they're doing from a management perspective. And I do wonder, like, how much time, and I know you could probably check this on Left Wing Lock or whatever, how much time does he spend with the top line versus the second line? You know, like, it would not surprise me one bit to learn that, like, they're giving Goss Despair all the easy minutes and Mo's playing all the hard minutes. Like, I bet his zone starts are below 50% offensive zone. I would, like, bet money on that, and I haven't.
39%. Oh, there so he's getting the tough match for sure. And I didn't realize he's on pace for 47 points. So I stand corrected.
Well, I don't know that it's not disappointing because after his rookie year, I think everything since then has been somewhat disappointing. But I think that they've been really trying to keep his cap hit down as a team because they're not winning a cup last year. They're not winning a cup this year. So they're just like, we don't want to pay our franchise D-man Rasmus Dahlin money. So we're going to keep him. Defensive ice. He is the best defensive player. Yeah. So like they're gonna get him on a $9 million contract if he finishes the year under 50 points. And then next year, look out, assuming Edvinson doesn't come in and blow the doors off.
Okay. There you go. So that covers off Patrick Kane and covers off James Reimer. I guess the other thing I want to talk about too is Alex DeBrincat and JT Compher, both playing well for Detroit. Compher actually is on pace for just about 60 points right now, and he is widely available, 22% rostered in Yahoo and 36% in Fantrax. So for any of our listeners looking for somebody to stream, JT Compher seems like a viable option right now.
I'm going to beat my own chest for a minute here. for your cap guys, I gave away William Karlsson when Patrick Kane signed with Detroit because William Karlsson made $6.7 million in our league. And then I claimed Compher off of free agency in a rather deep league because he made $5.1 million. He was a 0.8 points per game. And Compher has outscored Wild Bill since then. So and I saved $1.7 million, which is huge. $1.7 million. That's almost Mackenzie Weegar retained, which I pulled that deal off at midnight last night.
Well played. Well played.
Those cap leagues, man. It's a whole nother Bruce. We're gonna get you in one of those, buddy. I'm gonna start taking your money, pal. I'm
pull the rest of my hair out if I get into one of those.
Oh man,
cap leagues. I'm not gonna have any hair left.
It is drugs. I'm telling you right now, like drugs got nothing on cap dynasty leagues. So once you stop, or once you start, you can't go back. It's hard.
There you go.
Maya, I sacrificed my fantasy football team this year for hockey, so I'm doing well in hockey, and my fantasy football team finished third last.
Bruce, you're like on one of the best fantasy hockey podcasts in the friggin' world, man. You shouldn't be playing football at all. You don't have time for that.
You don't have time for that, Bruce.
You'd be out there figuring out Corsi on third line.
I did not put hardly anything in. I basically drafted my team and then left it alone. And that's pretty much why. All that and Burrow got hurt, but.
Ooh.
There you go.
I went heavy on the Bengals and that.
Well, at least you weren't an Aaron Rodgers guy.
No, I ain't touching that guy. Sorry.
Neither is Jimmy Kimmel.
I read that. Oh, I read that. Let's see who's next on the cold list here. Oh, Devin's favorite pick from earlier this season, Filip Hronek.
Yeah, he's cold. He's cooled off a bit here.
Ice baby.
Yeah, yeah. Just 4 assists in his last 12 games. Baby. Yuck. He's still on pace for 64 points, but. Has the window to sell high on that player closed? Is it too late? Probably.
If you're in a league with smart GMs, it has.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, and maybe the window wasn't really that big to begin with because he was outperforming what we'd expect. But
the whole Vancouver team was. I think if you were smart, you sold on everyone but Demko weeks ago because. Even though Elias Patterson's going to hit 100 and Quinn Hughes is going to be a Norris nominee and Hanzik is going to hit or Hronek is going to hit 60 probably, all their stats screamed like Kuzmenko-like regression for the whole team. Patterson's not a 150-point guy.
Yeah.
You know, like Demko's the only guy who, based on the first month, could do that for the rest of the year. And the rest of them, it was going to come down.
Are you telling me Brock Besser's not going to score 50 this year?
Brock Besser.
Come on.
I was high on him. I got myself a couple of goalies out of that deal.
Yeah. Smart.
I traded Ottinger and Besser for Swayman and Ullmark.
Well, then you only got one goalie.
You got one goalie, Bruce.
Yeah, but they're still doing the 50-50 split in Boston. So
that's a nice, if you're going to get a tandem, that is certainly a good tandem to get. Ottinger's a tough one. I hate Ottinger, Dallas so much. Like as an Oilers fan, Darian Hatcher and Mike Modano and Yuri Lehtinen. But like Dallas is a wagon. They are going to be a wagon. They have the top two scorers in the AHL. They are deep right now. They have nowhere to put these top two scorers in the AHL. Ottinger, remember that Calgary series? Like, come on. Like, Dallas is a team I'm buying on. Like, unequivocally, I'm buying on anyone that's for sale on Dallas. I'm selling on Vancouver. Ottinger's good for you for making that deal. I don't think I could trade Jake Ottinger. I don't own him in any leagues, but, like, he's one
of
the guys.
It's a redraft league, so it's like, I was looking at my goaltending because it sucked again and I needed goaltending and I needed starts. It's like, I thought, well, I want to sell high on Besser. And I was taking a look at, and John had the tandem and it was a pure 50-50 split between them. I'm like, well, okay, then I just need a third goalie so I can get to my minimum three starts if Boston doesn't play three games in a week and goaltending problem solved, right? So
who's your third?
Decord right now.
Bruce. That horseshoe has got to be uncomfortable to sit on for an hour. You've been sitting on that thing for an hour and 27 minutes, man. Good for you. A savvy GM and also, you know, comfortable when he shouldn't be.
I as I mentioned a few podcasts ago, I've been very fortunate because I was my draft strategy was very unorthodox this year for my teams, and I was not comfortable with either one of them. And so far, it's working. So
that's fun, man.
We'll ride it till it dies.
I was in one draft this year where last year I tanked and I kind of jobbed the whole league. I ended up with like 4 first round picks, 5 second round picks, 6 third round picks. I was done drafting by the 5th round in a 25 round draft, but my pick was up every other minute. Like it was literally like I would take a sip of Fresca because it's just so darn tasty. and the next thing I knew, I had like 12 seconds left on the clock on a pick. And I was just like, Jesus, like I ended up with Kyler Bertuzzi. I ended up with Jordan Kyrie. Like I made some really questionable picks. So I drafted a bunch of IR guys. I drafted Montour and Jack Quinn. And immediately the first week of the season, I sold Bertuzzi and I sold Kyrie. And now I'm using those assets to flip for guys who are selling and are just happy to get a first-round pick. Well, I basically turned Kyrou into Crosby and Nikishkin. It's like, jeez. Yes! Nice. You can crap the draft if you fix it really fast afterwards.
So. Yeah, I'm not. I've had very little luck in the trade market. It's
Like I said to Tofoliosis, I respect it, but like if I say no to 4 straight deals, give me a break.
I haven't got a Tyler trade recently. Maybe he's too busy golfing in Arizona.
I think he's having too much fun. Yeah, I had no idea he was going to Arizona, actually. That's pretty funny.
Like I said, you missed the staff meeting. He mentioned that the last time we were on, he was going to Arizona after Christmas.
I guess so. I don't know. Where was I? Did I miss that one?
You were here with us.
I missed it. Yeah, I was already checked out. I guess I was on holidays. I ran into him, actually, in Lloyd, while I was there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I had a little chat with him. It's good.
Nice.
We've got about 30 seconds here before the end of the show, Bruce. One other player I wanted to mention tonight was Braden Schenn, who is on pace for just 36 points this year. His lowest offensive output in over a decade. 0 points in his last 10 games, just 2 assists over his last 14. Absolutely brutal. That's all I got to say about Braden Schenn. So, 15 seconds. Bruce, I guess anything you want to say before we go?
Good night.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FHX, and we'll be back again on Sunday.
Hopefully with more than just me.
Wah, wah. Right.
Thanks, Ryan, for being here. Take care, guys.
Hey. Later.